Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Kev's Perspective. I'm your host, Kev Lowe, and today we have my boy, Brady, aka Grime, on the podcast. I have a big announcement to make in this episode, and I wanted to wait to have Brady on because my mindset's, like I said, a little darker than it used to be. And after making this big leap of faith and having it not work out in the way I wanted it to, I am now sitting here with Brady kind of, you know, digesting that, taking that apart over this longer episode. So please stick around, take your time, and enjoy the podcast. Cheer.
I think you're gonna kill it, bro.
Mod Son.
That was a legendary moment for me. I was like, man.
DJ Bonix.
Hi, how are you?
AB, baby.
I'm just so excited to be talking to you again.
This was a blast. Welcome to your podcast.
Yeah, thanks. I appreciate it.
Kev's Perspective.
I'm here. I'm present. I'm in the moment.
I'm good.
Well, I'm not going to do my intro because I don't do that anymore. I have an intro for a reason. So now we're just here. I'm with Brady, everybody. Everyone knows Brady from the podcast.
And that's where you hit the button, right?
Let me hit the button.
Welcome, welcome. Thanks for having me on again.
Yeah, of course, dude. Of course. Good to have you on. No, we haven't had a conversation in a hot minute. I know, like, we've seen each other in passing, but haven't had, like, a real conversation probably since the last time you were on the podcast.
I was trying to think when that was. Was it fall of 2020?
Yeah, it was when we were out at a show for Bodiz, and it was me, you, Gage.
Oh, no, sorry. I thought you were talking about the podcast. It was a year ago that the Webby show. It was a year ago, right, at Caboose?
Oh, yeah.
But
yeah,
I've seen you since then.
No, yeah, that's what I'm saying in passing. Okay. You know what I mean? Like, I saw you at the Nate show. I saw you at, I'm pretty sure you came to another show before that as well. Like, just off and on. I don't remember what shows.
Just a ghost passing through.
Exactly, exactly. But first off, let's talk about you. How have you been, bro?
Oh, I've been up, I've been down. Probably more down than up if I have pause. Yeah, I don't know. Trying to claw my way out of that cave since last time we talked on the podcast. I feel like I'm still trying to find myself, find my balance, whether it's in relationships, creatively, still doing things creatively, just not publicly. So,
what do those include? I'm just curious.
Painting, writing.
Oh, nice.
I've been doing like actual writing more now, not like lyrics and stuff, like more poetry or just like journaling. Honestly, that's been helping a lot. I don't do it every day, but I've been reading back some of my stuff and it's very good for me to do. So I'm going to keep trying to do that.
That's dope. Is it good to like, good in a sense of like you're tracking your mental or just good in a sense because it's just you feel like you're putting something down and you're putting out the universe that it's like out now?
It's both. Probably more importantly, the release of the weight.
Oh, sure.
You know, because I when I get something going in my head, it bounces around in 100 different ways and turns into a different monster. But when you're present and you get it out on the page right away, the emotions go with it too. And then you have this release. And so that's probably the main thing. But what did you say? The tracking?
Yeah. I mean, some people just like it because it's part of their routine every day. They like add to, you know what I mean? Like tracking your progress, tracking like maybe I was feeling this way three to four weeks ago and now I'm feeling different or I'm feeling better or I can see the words that I'm using. You know what I mean? Like less I statements maybe, or some people just track progress with writing as well in different ways.
Yeah. I've been writing down the exact time of the entry, the date.
Which is like mad important, by the way.
Yeah, I can kind of see and study when I have breaks throughout the day, or you know, there is the normal clock schedule, but like I've been kind of looking at my clock or my day differently, more energy based, I guess, and trying to rearrange accordingly. But yeah, journaling has been really good.
No, I'm letting you go. I'm just letting it go.
You know what I mean? I don't know.
Well, because the thing that you're talking about, the cave that you're trying to climb out of, you said per se. I've kind of entered one recently. And that's what I was kind of telling you about. Actually, when I was telling you that Brandon was over, Brandon McCollum from Nice Guys podcast came over. That's what I focused on because I had two interviews that day. I picked a focus for his to be real, authentic, and let him know where I'm at mentally in this industry. And then the other part of it was I went to Waterwave and I told them the glitz and glamour. I was like, yeah, this is what I'm doing. Here are all my accomplishments. But that was tougher to do than the one I had at home with him. Just because, like, I feel like mentally, ever since I came back from the road with Dizzy, and I've released a podcast or two since then, I've had a lot of different experiences that have led me to be like, damn, like, I'm in a mental hole. Like it just feels like you're in a hole. I don't know how to explain it. Like it's not depression per se, because I've had depression on and off for my whole life, but it's never been so severe, I suppose. And it feels like I just can't get my thoughts out clearly. I feel like every day is a struggle to just do minute shit. And it's a combination of being tired, but also learning what I've learned that have made me feel like everything that I've recently done in the industry is like not for nothing, but for minimal, if that makes sense. Like I just got taken advantage for a long time.
I feel like that's probably true, but yeah. Where you're at, I mean, don't people got to pay their dues?
But how many dues do I have to pay?
Is it time, or is it shows, or is it like, okay, I've already proven myself to a certain standard. Yeah, now it's time for the next step.
It's a mixture of, it's weird. It's a mixture of like, I've put in my time. I put in the proving grounds. I think I have put in proving grounds, bro. 3 years with CLM of...
I don't disagree at all.
You know what I mean? Of just being like taking tickets, doing every little job, because now I know that now that I've done every job, and this is why venues do it. Like when you work with a venue of any kind, they start you on the lowest level because they want you to see every aspect of where money comes through, how important it is, how crucial it is to like keep that tight and on point, how every process leads to a successful show. Every little part of it. You know what I mean? If the door person's not doing their job, the show's gonna fucking fail. People aren't gonna be in the door for on stage, shit like that. But like, I've paid my dues in that sense. But I feel like after being on the road, circulating money for other people, seeing how much I'm making for other people, seeing how much money that is out there to be made in the realm that I work in, like, I'm like, well, what am I doing? I'm just missing out on opportunity. And I'll just say it now because it's a good segue into it. Like, I quit CLM Presents today. I put in my resignation letter.
I was going to say, like, in order for you to take this next step without just taking a total left turn, you're probably going to have to immediately be in competition with similar markets, similar promoters.
Yeah.
So what does that look like for you?
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying is that when I was on the segue into that, when I was on the road, seeing all that, like, in realizing that I'm doing what I'm good at, I was doing a lot of stuff outside of CLM, as people know, right? Like, I was an A&R. And I was doing like business development for Rothman Security Services. I was doing a lot of shit. That was the extra stuff that Cato was trying to get me into to teach me a different part of business. Like I'm growing you into now an A&R so you can see that side of the business. You know what I mean? Just like how he took me from taking tickets to doing operations. It's like then he was taking me from operations and turning me into an A&R so I could benefit artists in the back end of their music to make more money over there. And the more expertise I have and the better I performed, which he believed in me in, that's where he was throwing me into to try to make me more valuable. So when I was ready to leave, that I was ready to leave with a ton of knowledge and I could start a business right away and be successful in the industry and still work with him. You know what I mean? But I think... this is what my assumption. I just left because he might feel it's premature. Like he never told me that. He was actually surprisingly almost excited that I was gone.
I think he sees himself in you. And honestly, when somebody is such a hustler like he is and you just have to respect it.
Yeah.
You know, because it's like, no, you can't, nobody can hoard talent. Nobody can just, you know, dim your light. Right. If it's time, it's time. And anybody that knows and has been through that process themselves is going to respect it. Maybe not verbally right away, but deep down they know that, okay, this is real.
Yeah, and that though, like, just the way it went down was not the way I was expecting. I'll be honest.
Were you expecting, like fireworks?
Well, no, like, no, like, what I was saying was that, like, making this transition, bro, like, you know that he's given me, not he's provided me all the opportunity that I had up until this point to meet people. I wouldn't be in conversations with artists without him being like, you're running this show, and me genuinely making that connection. But he put me in the place to make the connection. So I think he felt that, like, because he's told me this, he didn't expect me to leave this soon. The tough part was I knew when I was going to leave was for about a week. The whole last week, I was like, okay, I'm going to do it. You know what I mean? Like, I have to do it now. My gut's telling me to do it. And in that time frame, the universe had him in my face. Like, he literally came to Minnesota for a show, and he asked to stay at my house, and we had all these long conversations, and it was tough because I wasn't being fake. I was telling him what I genuinely felt, but at the same time, I was like, in the back of my head, I'm not going to be here to see any of this through. And the reason why is because he had a different vision for me of growing me into a better, like just overall in the music industry, a better businessman. My vision was I found what I'm really good at right now and I want to double down on it. event and tour management. Those are two things. I found out how good I am at that. And I'm like, the other things are taking my focus away from that. And that's not where my heart is. Right now, my heart is in the shows. It's in making these the best processes possible on tour and on at the show. So I did it prematurely because I already had a vision for what I wanted to do. And I feel like it's possible. But the amount of struggle that's coming with that already, day one, is insane. You know what I mean? And that's where the mental hole was. That's why when I came back from tour, I was put in that mental hole of like, I have this feeling like I want to do my own thing, but am I going to be successful? And it's not easy to be like, oh yeah, you're just going to be successful. Like, I believe in you, Kevin. Like, yeah, that's cool. But like, when every relationship has stemmed from one person, and that one person you are about to like separate from, you are now about to lose everything. Everything I've ever worked for, all the relationships, people know me now, but I have to authentically get to them now. I can't just ask, be like, hey, do you have any opportunities for me? Like, because no, I work with Caitlin. You know what I mean? I work with Kato. I can't do that. So that's why the mental hole I'm in, I'm like, did I do it too soon? We'll have to find out. You know what I mean? I'll have to see with the whole launch of everything going on and see how that goes.
I think there's different benchmarks of too soon. You know, there's financially too soon. Before this podcast started, you told me you've never missed a bill. So I don't think financially it's an issue or it's too soon.
Right.
Like that's off the table. You said you felt it in your gut.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
We've talked about nature and we've talked about feelings and just like on a cellular level, biology wise, you're on time.
Yeah.
So maybe your heart and your head is going to catch up because your relationships and other people didn't quite believe and they weren't ready for this transition.
Yeah.
It's happened plenty of times in my life where friends have transitioned out of my life to not being friends, coworkers or management or supervisors or people below you. You know, you start to build this story and this narrative in your head and everybody's got their place and you get to get comfortable for a while. But when somebody pulls out the Jenga block, everybody's tower gets kind of like, what's going on? The foundations get unstable, but I have no doubts that you're going to just do what you do naturally. You've always been successful in like forward thinking, but do you feel like you're in kind of like you jumped out of the nest?
Yeah, a little bit. I feel like, okay, I'll be honest. I feel like I fell out of the nest. There's a difference.
But I mean, it sounds like it was a conscious decision, right?
Yeah, it wasn't like I got let go. It wasn't like, oh, everything, like there were things leading up to this that was going to be bad. Like I was doing a good job for a long time, but like, after our conversation, like he even told me, I was honest too. I was like, I was slacking right as I got home, bro. Like right as I got home, I was slacking because like I realized at the moment I got back and with the amount of shit I had to do that this mindset of being tired, exhausted, and always having to be on point when it comes to this industry will never stop. There's no break. There literally is never a break. Like You have to like, if you have a family in like five, six years and I was still doing the same thing I was with him, sure, like over time, I'd probably be making more money, but like it would come with so much mental toll that like, I was like, what's worth it, man? Cause like before this, before the music industry, who I was before, like you saw me as an artist, like I had a lot of thoughts and I've always been, like you said, forward thinking or always thinking, my brain's overactive, but like I was a very chill, calm person. Like I was in the environment I was in was not as hectic all the time. I didn't have to be this stressed out all the time. This is the most copious amount of stress I've ever dealt with in my life. I've been broker than this and dealt with less stress because I had a plan. Even now I have several plans, but the difference is in the music industry, none of those plans could work out because you could get thrown a curveball every which way. That's not applicable for everything. When I was in sales, bro, there was never a curveball. It was, this is what you're expected to do. When I was at Apple, this is what you're expected to do. Like never had thrown a curveball. And if it was a curveball, it was so minute that it was easy for me to hurdle. So I never dealt with a lot of tough hurdles in my life. And I feel like the last 3 years of working with CLM Presents and doing the concerts, like it was so rewarding, but the amount of hurdles I like went through were so mentally taxing and it caught up with me when I got off tour. And not just that, but then when you put in your dues, you don't come home with a lot of money financially. So yeah, financially I'm okay, but dude, no, it's not like I'm okay doing well. It's okay, I'm buoyant. I'm barely staying on it.
Yeah, treading water.
I'm very much treading water. Like I'm at a point where I'm like, okay, I have one misstep of anything I spend and I'm in the hole. Not just this month, for a long time. So, and you have to run a business and you have to worry about those finances as well. So it's like, yeah, taking the leap, I was like, it's a lot less stress because I'm letting go of a lot of stress. I'm letting go of a lot of responsibility in order to find a niche lane to do well in. But the main thing I wanted to stress about it, talking to you about it, was just like, I've never experienced a mental turmoil like this before in general. It wasn't just today. It was the last months. This whole year has been just a decline in my mental health. And I finally was like, I need to do something about it now. Otherwise, it's affecting every part of my life, every part of my life.
So is this just work that the mental hole is? Because I see you work out and I see you, I'm pretty sure you take care of your body for the most part.
Yeah.
So is it just this work stuff? Is everything else caught up and up to par?
No. What comes with that is me moving on, right? You have to reflect on the amount of sacrifice you've made and how that affects you as well. And like, you've seen me go through relationships this year, multiple. You've seen me have a lot of experiences like that that has caused a mental toll. And that's really changed my mindset of like what I want in life in general. And like, you know what I mean? Just talking to completely different people after that, like than I was before. So now I'm introducing myself to a whole new audience of people in relationships. I'm introducing myself to a whole new team of business because my whole book of business is gone. It's all new. It's like a whole new world just opened up, and it's not bright and pretty. It's like, fuck. Like, it's muggy. It's cloudy. It's shit. Like, it's not good. And I view the world poorly right now. I do.
I agree.
It's not good. I just got to this point, though. Like, before that, I was so optimistic. I'm not going to lie. Like, my listeners are going to be like, gosh, this is like depressing. It's pessimistic. That's kind of the whole point of this episode. It's real. Like, I was talking to an artist on the phone today, and he was literally, I've had this question asked so many times, and I bet you have as well. What's the first step to do in order to, like, if I'm trying to be serious about this, right? Like, what's my first step? And I told the guy, don't fucking do it.
What are we talking about?
Like, if an artist ever asked you, like...
I missed the question.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. Has an artist ever asked you, I guess... Like, hey man, I'm becoming serious in the music business.
Oh, like what should I do?
What should I do? Like, what's the, yeah. And he's like, but he was super serious, dude. He was like, I put in this amount of money. I've made this many songs. And I was like, fuck, dude. Like, I'm about to tell this kid something he's really not going to want to hear. Because I look at the world so poorly. And I told him something.
You know what?
Terrible.
I don't think you owe it to anybody, and nobody, you know, in a positive, fun day, sure, be a mentor, pass it on. Like, at some point, you're allowed to have scars and share the pain. You know what I mean? Like, you don't have to be the lighthouse for everybody.
Yeah, and that's how it's, honestly, that's a good way to put it, though. Because that's honestly what it felt like for a long time. Everyone was like, you're doing so great, you're doing so great, you're doing awesome. And then it's like, puts you in a mindset of like...
I wish you well. I don't wish poorly on you, but I'm actually glad that you are experiencing these things. Because in my mind, I'm one of those people that have looked at you like, yeah, these guys have shit figured out,
right.
You know, and like everybody has these different looks and things on the surface and stuff, but it's refreshing to hear the shadows of the stage.
Dude, I'll never forget that, bro. I still got to be a book for real.
Yeah, you got it. You're writing it now.
Yeah.
It wouldn't be what it is or what it will be without the dark. It's just what it is. It sounds so cliche. It is cliche.
No, but you've said that for a long time, though. Like, you know what I mean? The thing is, though, what I'm talking about and the reason why I wanted to have you on here was because, like, and I didn't want to preface it at all, was because you've been through a lot of that before I have, right? You've lived more life than me. So it's like you've kind of been through some of these motions, and you could be still experiencing these motions that you're going through. You know what I mean? For me, I had a dark existence in the beginning of my life, and I've talked about it before, where, like, I already grew up hard, so anything from there was only up, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
And my whole life was up and up and up from there up until the last year or two, where it's been like, I'm not going to lie, ever since I started working with CLM and all of them, like, it has nothing to do with the company. It's just when I dove into this business and dove into this part of life, it just, dude, threw a massive amount of curveballs at me, which put me into a massive deeper state of like dark, of like, damn, like, where's the light, bro? Like, and that's the thing, is I'm so self-aware that it's like, I see the depression hitting. I see the negativity. So I'm like, well, what do I do? I don't want this. I don't want this. I keep trying to find ways to fight it temporarily, but there is no fighting it. I've realized you just gotta experience it, move through it, and then see what's at the other side, to be honest. But currently going through it, it's a lot of not good outcomes. Like I told you, that artist at the end of the conversation, I felt so bad because he literally, his reaction to what I said was like this. I heard. Fuck. I heard him smack himself in the head and go, fuck. Because he thinks he sacrificed a lot. And I was like, he didn't.
Yeah, but like I said, the lighthouse. And this isn't the end-all, be-all thing, but it's like your experience is not the gate for him. You know, and maybe he wants to get some advice from you, but if he's ultimately like being defeated by your answers,
right,
he's got bigger problems.
Yeah, no, I agree. I'm not to blame for that. I'm just saying, like, yeah, I'm sure he wanted the same conversation I've given to thousands of people, which is literally like, oh, you just got to do a couple things, man, then you'll be on your way. Like, have your dreams, because I still believe the whole reason why I did this was to follow my dreams. That was it. Like the whole cliche saying of follow your dreams. 90% of people don't do it. They don't even try to attempt it.
Let me say something. It's like, you can follow your dreams, but it might lead you to a nightmare.
Yeah.
Like, nobody, I don't know why, but like the idea of following your dreams, just thinking of this now, like, do we assume that it's a good result? Because the follow is just an action. That's just the journey. But like, yeah, everybody thinks that following your dreams means that you're going to make it there.
Yeah, right.
Like, you can still be a success story as a failure, as someone who followed their dreams and failed. It's okay.
Right.
You tried.
Right.
You know how many people don't try? I'm a great example. Yeah. Like, just in many areas, like, to have a story, even if it's one of pain, mm-hmm, is something to be proud of.
Yeah. No, and I was telling people this today. I was like, I don't regret anything that I did. Everything that I have done up until this point, I'm very proud of, and I'm continuing to do so. Like, I haven't gave up on the journey just yet, to be honest with you, but this is the point in, like, a journey of following your dreams where people may not get to, which is where you see success from it, but you see success from it in the experience. You don't see success from it on the financial side of things. Mm. And then you're stuck at a crossroads where, do I have to be real and start doing the whole, in this, I'll be honest, people who haven't done, like, following their dreams or entrepreneurship, if you've never been down the path, there is a point where you hit where you're like, do I do the easy route of just getting a job, being secure? Life is set up and society is set up for you to join into a machine and have an easy life. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to lie. If you have some sort of IQ and you can have some grit in your body to work hard every day, you're going to be successful in that route of whatever route you feel like you want to take. Whether you enjoy that route you're putting yourself on, the type of work you're doing, the company you believe in, whatever, that's up to you to find out where you fit in. But that's not a hard route to go. The route of the open blue sea of, I don't see any path in sight. You don't see an island. You don't see a boat. You just see rocky waves and you have to be expected to enter it. Yeah, right. Like, that's the best way to explain it. Someone explained to me the music industry that way of, we're not a set up society. We are a raw blue ocean of just opportunity. And if you find the right wave that crashes you onto a beautiful island, which would be success, great. But most of the time you're trying to continuously catch a wave. You're falling off and on and off and on up until you find that big one that leads you to where you want to be.
But rogue, like, wave. No, scientifically. No, go
you
ahead.
And Bo, dude. I swear to God, this rogue wave shit.
Have I shared it with you?
Explain, like, it. No, I've never. Because we're on waves.
I could have swore I sent you like a very detailed scientific article.
You didn't
article.
Give me anything. I would have known.
I sent a link to Bo.
There you go.
And I think I sent it to you.
Sure. We'll say you did.
We'll send it after this. But yeah. We can't really link anything if this is just audio, huh? For listeners.
Oh, I can link it in the bio of wherever they're listening. Check in the bio. I'll link this rogue wave video that we're talking about, but continue on.
Long story short, a rogue wave scientifically in nature is a culmination of all of these different energy points and wave points. So, like you were just describing, catch a wave, ride a wave. That's such a term in hip hop.
Right.
You know it is. Everybody knows what we mean when we say that. And so that's a singular wave. Webby is his own wave. Wiz Correct. Khalifa is his own wave. Yeah. Madsen is his own wave. Right. And there's all these other movements and things that travel up. If you do business with them, you're a part of the wave. And then you ride over the back, ride into the sunset, whatever.
Right.
A rogue wave is, in science, it's basically on the other side of the equal sign when all of these waves interact with each other in a way that creates a wave spike.
Mm-hmm.
And this rogue wave and this wave spike reaches like two
2/3 to, you know, almost a double in height of what any singular wave is actually capable in potential. Mm. So that's why I said it.
So you
and I right now, we're creating our waves of energy and our waves of perspective are mishing and mashing together. Right. And sometimes they create this spike of knowledge, of epiphany, of experience, of financial flooding.
Right.
You know, maybe you have a really successful moment. That's a rogue wave.
Okay.
And it's happening because of all these energies at play.
Yeah.
So that happens naturally. And we've been here on this planet long enough to be able to study it in labs and create these wave spikes, and so much so to the point where we can study the numbers on an Excel spreadsheet.
I did not know that. Yeah.
So you can like look out in an ocean, this endless sea that you're talking about, but once you take it into the science and the lab realm, you can measure those waves. And people measure those waves. Maybe it's in stream numbers, maybe it's YouTube views, income, merch sales.
Right.
If you can measure the wave that way if you'd like. There's all these other things that go into the wave, and if you start to study those things, you can create this rogue wave.
Yeah.
And that's kind of why I'm on that shit.
Oh, okay.
It's like scientifically...
It can apply to anything, too, though.
Everything.
Yeah, everything. I see what you're saying.
Anything that has movement and energy,
yeah,
you can create these wave spikes in the data.
Yeah.
And those wave spikes could be an experience, a festival, like I said, a financial flooding for you, a blessing.
Right.
So I'm just trying to like study life in that way.
And that's actually a really good perspective to do it from, because you also, the one thing I'm thinking about after hearing that is that with those rogue waves, right? Like you're saying you can create them. And that's, I guess, what like naturally is, that's something that I want to create, but I want to do it naturally. You know what I mean? I don't want to crunch the numbers and throw a guess out there and keep throwing guesses, because I feel like, and to try to create one, because I feel like that's what a lot of the people I was working with recently were doing. They're so smart. They've recognized the movements in whatever we were doing, whether it be industry, sales. Like you said, it applied to anything that we were doing. Our brand, like the way people recognized it, buyer behavior, everything. So we were watching these and we were trying to find ways where we saw a peak. What did we do there? What was the good thing we did there to create that? And once you keep doing that, that's how people become more, however you measure success, more successful, right? Like in the positive energy realm of that rogue wave. But I feel like what I just did, like what the actions that I'm taking right now in my personal life, I feel like it created the first rogue wave that was probably negative energy for me.
You like, can drown in it.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying, though, is that like I've only seen the positive spikes so far because that's where my mind was at. That was the energy I was putting out. But I my whole mindset changed when I moved to Kentucky. After that, bro, it was like, wow, there's a lot of negative energy in the world that I didn't even realize. I created a bubble for myself in Minnesota before I left that was just, I'm on my job, I'm doing my thing, I only surround myself with people that were like-minded. I decided to take a journey and travel the world as a tour manager and move out of state and do all these things. That's taught me a lot about life that I wanted to know, which was, yeah, like, it's not always good at the end of that wave. You know what I mean? During that time, I was definitely drowning in it. That's why, like, while I was drowning, while I was taking a mental toll, I was like, I'm going to see what's happening over here. I'm going to jump off this and see what's happening over here, because I was riding the wave of whatever I was just on forever. You know what I mean? But it's scary. It's not just scary. Like, it's petrifying.
It is. That.
It's fucking petrifying.
Have you ever been in a wave pool?
Yeah.
Have you ever been, like, in trouble?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That shit is exactly that feeling. Yep. Like you think you're at a fun day at the water park and you see all these things going around you and
shit flips.
I've literally almost drowned at a wave pool because I was out of sync with the waves.
Oh.
So I was down and then the wave would hit my face, you know, and I was small, couldn't hit the bottom and jump high enough. Like shit's real.
Yeah, dude. No, actually that happened to me when I was in Puerto Rico. No lie. Same thing though. When I was in the ocean, I was body surfing and it took me out to sea. Took me out to sea, bro. Like that's the thing, is like it was very unlikely for it to even happen, but it bounced in a way with another wave where I got pushed back.
Those are those rip currents or rip tides,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. And I wasn't even far out, dude. I was in knee deep.
Yeah.
And it just took me so fast. And I literally at that moment I thought I was dead, because they even tell you, like in Puerto Rico, like you're in the ocean. We got no resources to help you. We're a third world country at the island I was at. So I genuinely thought I was fucked. But I remember that being like a life epiphany, being like, this shit could get taken away from me so easily. That's why I've always, no matter what, I've always had the mindset of like, I'm blessed to be here. And I'll be honest, I've also had the mindset of like me and Gage talk about space a lot. And that gives you a perspective of like, you don't matter. Like it really does. Like if you study space, if you were to work with NASA, you would to realize how much you don't fucking matter at all. Like we don't matter at all. That's why it's like whatever we're doing here in our own little bubbles to make ourselves happy. Whatever, if there's a negative time like I'm going through, I just need to figure it out, because think about everything else on a massive scale.
Yeah, zoom out a bit.
Zoom out a bit. Well, the wave was just the rogue wave is a good way. I want to look into that more, because like that's a good way of putting like just peaks in life of any kind, and then attaching that to different energies, which I've gotten out of sync with myself a lot, bro. Trust me. During this time of working that hard, I was working for so long. Like, dude, I've been out of sync with myself. The last couple episodes I've released recently were literally me contemplating like who the fuck I am before all of this.
I'm glad you're arriving at the identity issues.
Yeah. No, huge identity issues. Yes.
I should have started the rogue wave thing by saying this is like, there was something that happened when I was fishing with my father when I was younger. I was probably like 10. Sure. Like old enough to start thinking for myself and ask my dad questions when I would be curious. Mm-hmm. But like still young where I'm like looking to him to lead the day. And I don't know what, I'm not planning our day. I'm not planning my day.
Right.
We're at his cabin, and the water's like glass. I mean, it is so still. It's like that type of day, and we're the only boat out on the water, and it's not a huge lake. I mean, you could see any other boat that was on the lake.
Right.
We were alone. Water's like glass. We're fishing. We're probably out there for an hour, and we're just sitting in the same spot, casting. We didn't have the motor on for 45 minutes.
Right.
Just hear this. You've been to an ocean,
yeah.
The wave crashing on the beach,
right.
When it rolls over. These waves don't happen and roll over in a lake,
right.
Of this size, and especially in the middle of it. Like we were in the middle, and this wave was about a foot tall. So something I still am wondering to this day.
What was in there that caused it?
Yeah, I don't think it was a monster or nothing. No, but like something shifted in an air pocket or something changed. And there was this 1 foot high wave that broke. And it was literally just a single wave. It was probably like 70 feet wide. And it just, we started to hear it. And just like a barrel, like surfers go under.
That's crazy.
Just went for 70 feet left to right. And him and I were just like entranced, you know, because like the water was glass. And now there's a foot high wave breaking like it does on the ocean,
right.
With absolutely no visible stimulus. Like right. What is going on?
What was the catalyst? Yeah.
Yeah. So, and he said those words, rogue wave. And I don't think he knows. Like,
no.
He was just saying it like in a funny way.
No, yeah, but that's a genuine like.
He didn't like read any scientific thing. Like he wasn't trying to, you know, so like he was just putting those two words. It's a wave and it's rogue.
Yeah.
And he just put those together and it's a real thing.
Yeah.
And so ever since that moment, like that feeling of, whoa, there is something bigger going on here. We're all a part of something.
Yeah.
I'm just a piece of it.
Yep.
That made me go, there's something to study here.
Yeah.
Can I create this?
Right.
In my relationships, in my world?
Yeah.
So whenever I say rogue wave, like that's, I'm like, oh, there's something greater. Like,
well, that's also like a full circle moment though. You know what I mean? Like, which is nuts reflecting on it years later. Cause like, I couldn't think of a single moment like that. That's like directly correlates to the mindset you're in now. You know what I mean? Like that story, which is very, very fascinating to me, because you're right. Like that's one thing that I think about a lot when I always zoom out when I'm in like a really like weird place mentally. I always zoom out and I'm always like, dude, like what am I not just like people do? Here's what people do wrong. People always are like, well, people have it worse than me. I hate that shit.
Yeah.
You get cards.
Everything's relative. Like, let me bitch.
Yeah. Like, yeah, no, everything's relative. Like, there's always going to be something lesser than you. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? A pig is lesser than me. You know what I'm saying? A monkey, even though it's in the same realm.
Well, at least you're not dead.
Right.
Well, no shit.
Well, right. But at the end of the day, like, is that even bad? You know what I mean? It's like, I don't, because that's a part of life that you can't control. Like, what I'm saying is the uncontrollable parts is why I'm also like, well, I have to remind myself the saying of you only can control what you can control. Mm-hmm. Like, yes. But even when you're, if you feel like you can control a situation, you can't. That's what I'm saying. Like, even though I've separated from my career in this aspect and I'm trying to go on to a new part, I can't control if that's going to be good or not. I could pull all my effort into it, all my knowledge, do all the precautions, but like another negative rogue wave could come through. You know what I mean? And I won't know what to do then. So I always put it in perspective, because that's when I used to have a whole different mindset like 2 years ago, bro. Like when I was talking to you, like for the first time I had you on the podcast, I was in a mindset of essentially like, it's kind of fucked up, but essentially like everyone who hasn't been successful in this industry is just a bitch, right? That's basically what my mind was at, because I was like, oh, this shit's not that hard. It's not, yeah. Because it wasn't hard for me, because I was naturally, like you said, I'm naturally on the like forward thinking. I'm naturally just a detail oriented person. I'm good for this industry. However, I did not realize how much I was being handheld. You know what I mean? But like, you only can be handheld for so long and you get limited by that. You know what I mean? You get hella limited when you have one person to be like all the opportunities coming from. You're relying on that person. I guess I should say, if you're ever fully relying on someone for anything, whether it be happiness, whether it be finances, whether it be opportunities, whatever, you need to leave that situation. You may be gaining a lot from it, but gain as much as you can before it negatively impacts you. And I feel like for me, it was negatively impacting me a little too long in the mental. Just a little too long. I stayed a little too long. I kept holding on and holding on for a different outcome because I gave it everything I've ever got. And then now I'm like, all right, my gut, like you said, biology, was like, I, dude, fuck this. Like it literally, I woke up and I was not working. And I was like, all right, I'm putting in the letter. I need some time to myself. You know what I mean? I need to reset. That's what I'm taking this time to do, is like fully resetting, figuring out who I am, because the identity issue is new to me. That's never happened to me before. I've always known who I am and what I am, but I'll be honest, I think I've attached so many titles and labels to myself, I forgot who I was.
This is so great, because like
you're
when
smiling
about this, I just, it's affirming to me.
Yeah,
it's nice to not be alone in the cave.
You're not,
because
bro.
When I at the last podcast we did, not the last one, but my episode,
yeah,
when it was just you and me, hell was I saying?
You're not alone in the cave. In the last episode, you're going to relate to that. Hey man, there's a part
I just was talking about formless, and I was like, I'm trying to, goddamn, these labels.
Oh, yeah.
And I was you like, were. You know, and those labels gave you power and confidence, and they served an entirely different purpose for you.
Yeah.
I needed to get away from them to free myself, and I'm still not closer to, you know, anything of balance or harmony, but like, I'm glad that you see that, because I felt in that moment of that podcast, I felt alone, and I felt like I was just kind of like preaching to myself.
I guess in that, because I remember that episode now that you've talked about it, I guess, I finally caught up to that, because I agree. Like, I feel like the more and more energy I put into the business and more I did, the less and less labels mattered. The only outcome was, is the job getting done, whatever we're doing? Are we sharing a common purpose or goal? And are we all gaining something out of it? And I just felt like in that third part, I wasn't gaining as much as everybody else. Everyone kept telling me, you have to put in more work, you have to put in more dues. But like, I don't agree, just because I've seen others in, like Cole Bennett, he's literally close to my age. He's Lyrical Lemonade. He's everything. And he created all of that. He figured it out early. He figured out that shit doesn't matter. And now I'm going to move on and create my own rogue wave. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But he figured out how to make the rogue wave happen. And that's something that I'm trying to figure out as well. And labels don't help. Like, that's also why I hate corporate, because they give you a label to satisfy you, to empower you is the point, to make you feel like this job that you're doing has a meaning, it has a purpose, and here's an end goal that you financially get success from. That's the whole point of getting a real 9-to-5 job. That's it. And whether you believe in that purpose or not is up to you, but the title is to satisfy you, and they keep giving you different titles, and they put you on a hierarchy.
Here's the carrot right in front of you.
Exactly. Hey, if you get this, you get a little bit more and a little bit more, but like the real people benefiting from your work are the ones way the fuck up
there. They got the carrot in their hand and they're shaving it.
They're shaving a part of it for you, but it's such a small amount. When I realized and I put in perspective how small the amount was, I was getting shaven to me, like it may seem big to the person I was working with, right? Like, I was told by people who are multimillionaires, like, I'm lucky to be in this position. Like, people who are very successful in life were like, you're lucky to be in the position you're in. And I was like, how come none of you are looking at one thing that I'm looking at? My sacrifice, my hard work, my execution. Mm-hmm. I may have been given an opportunity, but I didn't flounder. I fucking killed it. That's why I'm like, and I know I killed it, not because I killed it, but because everyone around me was telling me I was killing it. So that is one thing I want to tell people as well, is that like, that important factor, like, you're the only person people are going to look out for. There's a mix between being greedy and knowing your value. And I know my value. I know I'm not greedy. I'm getting told I'm underselling myself. So I'm like, okay, then I'm just in a right position to be like, I know my value. I know my worth, but that small part of that carrot, I'm starving. That's what it is. I've been giving barely anything to get by, and now I'm starving to the point where if I don't do it now, I'm positioning myself into a different industry that I know works, which would be, for me, sales. I know if I go back to Apple, dude, I climbed that ladder in 2 years. I was about to get a really nice cushy job for like 60, 70K a year, a little higher with commission. Like, I moved up from being a seasonal employee in 2 years to almost being a business professional for Apple. And that's not easy to get to. It's a very slim position. So it's like, in me being put in that conversation where I was 20 years younger than everybody, that's what gave me the confidence in order to go in the music industry. But this industry, like I told you, it's an ocean, bro. It's an ocean. And rogue waves do not come up often. It is like a still lake, essentially. It's not even an ocean. I feel like it's a still lake.
It's the doldrums.
What is that?
You don't know?
No.
It's in oceans. It's a still area. No wave pattern. No current. No wind pattern.
That's the industry, though.
So, like, if your ship gets out there, you're fucked.
Oh, yeah. Well, then there you go. That's
like,
where I'm at.
Seriously, in the olden days, like, you avoided them.
Yeah.
And now it's become a symbol of metaphor, you know?
Right.
Like, within your own life. You know, our sails are what we're trying to catch wind with.
Right.
And if you find yourself in a place with no wind.
Yeah, you're fucked.
You went wrong a long time ago.
Yeah. Yeah. And honestly, that's where I'm hoping I didn't go to. You know what I mean? That's like what you hope, because you don't know if you're there yet until it becomes obvious.
No, not until you're sitting there in the middle.
Yeah.
Screaming at nothing.
Yeah. When you get fucking eviction notices coming to your door type shit in life. You know what I mean? And that's what I'm worried about, per se, because there's no security. Like you said, I left the net. But it's like...
Nest.
Yeah, the nest. But now it's like, where do I go?
Well,
bro?
You left the net, too. You cut the fucker open, and now you're falling out the bottom.
Yeah, we'll see what happens, bro, to be honest with you. And that just applies to every part of life. Because I talked to a lot of people about this next part, which is like, just what you find fulfillment in. Like, it's weird. I'm at, like, in your late 20s, you start figuring out. And I don't know why no one's fucking... I can't find a damn person that has talked about this topic of just like, at this point in life, most people go through identity issues, confusion. No one's talked about how to navigate out of that. Like, I don't know a lot of people that has talked about that. My parents, they've given me no advice. Because at my age, they had a kid already.
I think a lot of these people haven't either perceived it, they're not aware of it. They're all still participating in it, and people go through that stuff. But I think it's probably a cause of lack of social media. If you had all of the data, for the people that knew better and actually could tell you.
Yeah.
They're so weathered now through their life. And before social media, they had to grind and grind and grind to the point where it's like, I ain't giving you this cookie.
Yeah. Well, that's what's fucked up, though, is that like, that's not even like, that's one thing that people should do, though.
Just because
the knowledge from it can help navigate somebody. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, I'm going to get back into reading a lot, because when I'm lost in the sense of direction and identity, I've been here like once before a while ago, like when I was in college, I read a lot. I just studied a lot and I just learned a lot of different. I'm going to do more podcasts because it gives you different perspectives. It puts things just not in perspective, but it gives you a different mindset to look into, because I'm always alone in this industry, right? I'm always in a hotel room, rental car, in my office. You don't get a whole lot of different like mindsets, I guess. You don't get a whole lot of different eyes on what you're doing. And I've just been talking openly more about everything. I'm a transparent person. I always have been. I don't hide shit. I don't hide anything about my life. Anyone, if they listen to this podcast, knows that you can just go through my life online and you'll know everything about me. There's nothing to hide. So it's like, that also is different, I guess, as well, because some people are like me, they're more transparent, but I want people to talk about life that's when shit gets super hard, like this, where it's like, you don't know, you wake up, you feel like you're not you anymore. You wake up and you're like, damn, like, what was my goal again? What was my ambition doing this? Why did I sacrifice everything I did? What if I didn't do that? Like, you know what I mean? You just get a lot of doubts very quickly. And how do you navigate out of it? Time will tell, but I would like some fucking assistance. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I'm in it too.
But it's like, how long are you in it for? It's not like, because people can relate to this part of of what we're talking about. They could relate to like, oh yeah, I'm in a shitty part of my life too. It may sound that way, but it doesn't always have to be that way. You could be wildly successful and then be like, now what do I do? Why was I doing this? What do I do? You know what I mean? It's the same thing. I've seen it on both fronts. My uncle was that way. My uncle saw so much success. He was like, what do I do? He's at that point now. He's in his 50s and he's like, yeah, like, fuck, what was the point of why I started doing sales? Like, yeah. Oh, because I was good at it. Okay,
I got the carrot. Now what?
Well, yeah, what do I enjoy doing? That's
That's the real thing to go for in life.
Right.
I mean, to really figure it out. But I don't think there's enough mentors. There's so much division right now. Like, I haven't even been seeing friends. And I don't even know who my friends are really anymore. Isn't that weird?
Yeah.
It's fucking weird.
No, that's where I'm at too. I don't know who to talk to. I can't trust a lot of people. Some people have betrayed my trust in ways where I'm like, dude, like, who around me is good? Like, who around me can I just vibe with and trust, to be honest with you, in general? And yeah, right now I can't. Like, everyone's concerned about the same things in different ways. Everyone's going through it, but some people feel like, a lot of people that I knew at least, are so caught up in their own lives. And I don't know if this is just a part about getting older or what, but they're so consumed in what they're doing that, like, I don't even know who those people are anymore. That's a cool part about when you're young, like kids, you realize like everyone has a personality you can see from a 10-mile distance, bro. When I see a kid, I can literally see the personality in them. And that's like, that's so sick. They're showing you who they are internally, but that gets masked so much.
Just gets beat out of you.
Then you just become a person. You know what I mean? Then you're just
NPC,
another
NPC, just robot.
That's what I'm saying. That's why back to the conversation of how minimal we are on the earth, like. I don't want to become that though. I want to remember. There are rare people out there that are like the whole time throughout their whole life, they've kept their themselves. They've kept their personality. They've kept their soul, right? I feel like I'm all the labels that I got given, all the beat down experiences with nothing to show for it. It feels like that at least. Makes you feel like, cool, I got a lot of experiences, but like, who the fuck am I when I wake up in the morning? Like, and it makes you question value then at that point. Because it's like, well, a lot of people focus on relationships. Well, then I'm feeling this way. So then how am I going to feel valued to somebody else? I feel like I shouldn't be valued. And that's fucked up, in my opinion. Like, that's how deep that gets. Is like, what value do I truly provide if I'm so small on this earth and I'm stressing about this stuff when other people around me at my age have figured it out?
Fuck social media, dude.
It fucks with me. It's really bad. I think I need to take a break because now that I don't have an attachment to it for work, I'm good on that for a little bit. Because I physically can't, in the music industry, you can't work in November and December and January. It's just not a thing.
I don't think social media as a thing is the problem. I think it just draws out, amplifies, and just magnifies all of the problems that people have as humans deep down. And it's just getting like blown up. You can see it, and it just oozes onto you. Insecurities.
I was about to say
like,
that. Insecurities is
everything,
the biggest one.
You know, comparing yourself. All this shit has been said a billion times on podcasts. People who think they know better, but people need to hear it. Like, get off social media.
Yeah.
Give your mind a break, and then see how you feel.
But it's an ideology that everyone that I know won't do it. Even though they say they want to do
it. I can't.
I got
off the grid tatted on me.
And you can't even do it.
I can't pull the plug. I'm no Neo.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, I want to do the same thing, bro. I'm stuck too. Like, I've put my whole life out there. Now I'm like, at that point though, when you've put so many years of your life into social media, years, bro. Half of my life at least has been spent on social media. At least, bro. And now then you're sitting here like,
oh my God.
Yeah, like, dude.
We're coming up on that now. Like, when... I mean, MySpace. Did you have MySpace?
MySpace was the first thing that I had.
So
in
that
Tumblr.
That was like 2004 to 2007.
I know for a fact I was like 12 on or 13 on social
12.
Media, bro. I made a Facebook when I was 14.
I've been on social media long for more than half my life, and so have you.
Yep.
Holy shit. Like, we're the guinea pigs.
We were. We definitely were the guinea pigs. That's actually an interesting...
No, we are. Not the. We were. We are.
Yeah. No, 100%. And that's not something to breeze over because I guess that honest also contributes to the mentality we're talking about, right? That when you say you're in the cave, like, that's something I don't think that as deep as we're in, at least, maybe people that before us that weren't a part of social media, the generation of it, they at least got to see a little bit of like, oh, I have perspective over like that could lead to. You know what I mean? We didn't know. That was life.
No, I felt like it was giving me more than I ever could have had without it. Like, yeah. I felt like it was a gift to me.
Yeah.
Like, I get to connect with people. I get to see all of their thoughts. If you look at my Facebook, anyone that's on it still gets to know that it's like, I'll just put any thought out there. And I thought that's what it was for me, social media. I thought it was just like burying yourself, burying your soul.
Well, like, think about it too, though. When I remember when I first did it, I did it to keep in contact with friends because I was moving so much when I was a kid. I was a broke kid. So like, when I got gifted my first laptop, I got gifted it to me. I remember just living life on it because I was always in a shitty environment, poor. So like, if I had Wi-Fi in a public place, I could escape. I could go into social media, my MySpace, I could build it out with my own custom music. Think about that. Like, I lived a whole different world and I could stay connected with people that I beforehand, if before social media, when you left a town, when you were a kid, that was it.
That's it.
Good luck. You
know
what I
mean? Some kids,
pen pals were a thing.
There were some kids that I was like really good friends with, close with in elementary school that moved for middle school.
Yep.
But I didn't have social media. And then, you know, 5-6 years later, I'm in high school and I'm trying to reach out to these people. And it actually connected me with some people from my youth. But
that's what I'm saying. Like, when I was a kid, I was using that to like stay connected with people. So I guess that's back to the mindset is like, yeah, I mean, us taking a break from social media is us saying half of my life has been spent on this platform. Now I'm going to have to figure out how to not do that. You know what I mean? How to not be indulged in my, I wonder what my friends are doing. I wonder what their life might be like, or like, and it sounds super basic, but it's not though. It's very complex mentally just because of where it leads you to. That's like, there is no direction. You know what I mean?
It's
other than talking to like-minded people.
It's going
to
open up so many problems too. Like,
oh yeah, dude.
Getting just not weaning yourself off and just going cold turkey on social media. Is like, I've tried that. Not good.
No.
Cause it's deep. It's like got its claws in it.
The fact that you said it's like not good, like a drug, like the
No, that's what it is.
Yeah,
it's just is.
I know. Experts have talked about this, but like in application to like people who are living their normal day to day lives, you don't study this shit, and you come to this realization. You know what I mean? Of this negative little area, it's like there's no solution to it, though. You know what I mean? If you take a break, what is that going to realistically do for you? Because people make money now. I made all my business off social media. My whole business.
That's what it is. I've never made money off social media. Like, so I have a totally different.
That's not true, though.
Straight up, never made a dollar from music.
No, but like, so when you were on tours and shit, you never got handed any money for food, for nothing.
I mean, like, Nate might have bought my lunch once or twice, but I was never paid.
I never knew that.
Ain't a big deal. Like,
no,
that's
but
just
to
who
me,
I was, you know?
Like, I get it, but to me, that's crazy. Because even me, like, going to a show and be like, someone's like, oh, yeah.
Oh, you know what? I did get paid for the underground show in Farmington.
That's it, though?
I mean,
there's so much money that circulates at a show that's like, even on you guys' level, like, you guys weren't huge, but you were still on an independent grind where everyone should be getting something to, like, eat and, like, even not just covering shit, but, like, hey, here's some money for coming on the road with me for 3 weeks.
I'm sure there was plenty of benefits, but I did not get money for my experiences like that.
That's just like, I don't know. To me, even the amount of money I've gotten is like, even when you do receive it.
I agree. There should have been some things, but like at the same time,
we all
so
were
naive.
Learning. Yeah.
Like
learning.
At that time, not many people were touring at all.
Yeah.
I was just happy to travel the country with my best friend.
It's true.
Like, I don't give a fuck about getting paid. Like, and I'm not. Looking back now, I'm like, yeah, I wish I would have got paid, you know,
right.
Principal, whatever.
Right.
But like, me personally, I have some of the, like, my life's not super fucking, like, desirable from the outside in, but like, I know there's people that would kill for the experiences that I have had.
Yeah.
And the close things that I've experienced over the last decade. I've been in rooms and been around people and like none of that shit matters. Like, I don't care about fame, but like,
but that's what's crazy to me too. Sorry, continue, but I'll go off on that point.
Just like my good heart and intention
got
me a solid decade of golden lifelong memories.
Yep.
And no amount of money, I wouldn't trade any amount of money, even if somebody wanted to come to me now and say, you know what, this is what I think you were worth over the last decade. I wouldn't trade it.
Yeah. And that's, I think, one thing that I'm struggling to do. You know what I mean? Because I mean, like, is struggling to be like, that was all worth the experience. That was those golden moments. Like, but it's tough. Like, that's why I feel like one thing I do agree with when it comes to Gary Vee, because I don't agree with a lot of what he says now, but I agree with one thing that he always says was document everything. Hence why I started a podcast, because I feel like I should have documented more of those moments, even though I have brief moments on my phone. Like, sometimes you feel like your life, you want to watch the whole movie over again because, dude, the shit that I forget that I've done, I'm like, wow. You know what I mean? Like, people would kill for that. Being on the same stage as Tory Lanez and talking to Lil Yachty face to face genuinely. And like, you know what I mean? Having real life people to people conversations, getting flown out to New York, all these like things that seem extravagant. The one thing I told this artist today, the whole glitz and glamour statement is true, because even the people that you look at, when you look at an artist that you favor, let's say in the music industry, you look around them. Those people may look the part, but are they actually gaining something out of it other than this golden moment? Are they gaining something financially from it? How much have they put in to get there? All those questions you have to ask yourself when you go to a fucking show, like a festival, look at every person around you and imagine their individual life and what it took for them to get there and what they might actually be gaining or not. And some people say, well, that's really cool that you got to do that. Like, regardless if you got paid or not, right? That's cool until the bills come. That's super cool.
Yeah.
Like, it's super cool until you see me on the street. Like, no shit. That's how far that can go. Like, it's super cool that I am a tour manager and I haven't lost that role. And I still have the possibility to go do that. But if people can't match my bottom line, then there's no point. And that's one thing about getting older is that, like, you have so much responsibility that naturally stacks up on you. Like, I thought about this today. I was like, when did I get so many fucking subscriptions to things? Oh, when did all these bills have to come in? Like, they came out of fucking nowhere. But naturally, society set up so you gain auto insurance and you
feel
gain
without
a car.
If you don't have it.
If you don't have it, you're not responsible. If I didn't have a car, people would look at me differently in society. Think about that, though. They would. They would be like, "What? Everyone needs a fucking car." Like,
there's like five benchmarks to qualify just to even have someone think you're human.
Like, go for them. Yeah, like, talk
home.
Yeah, home.
Yep. Well, not a home, because a home is a feeling, a house. You need a roof over your head, vehicle, way to communicate. And it's not just a phone. It's a social credit thing. Like, if you don't have an iPhone or some sort of connected device that's, like, of current technology, that's a benchmark.
I saw someone with a track phone, and I immediately thought something bad. I'm not going to lie to you. Yeah, I saw someone with a track phone recently. They gave it to me at a show to take a picture. Yep. And I was like, what the fuck is this?
Right. And you don't know why, but it's a benchmark. So, like,
dumb.
Yeah. So, yeah. And then four, I'd say probably fashion, your appearance. That's a.
Oh, yeah. Luckily, vintage is coming back. So I'm going to Goodwill, my boy.
Nice. Yeah, that's a good. Luckily, there's a small part of.
I know what you mean, though. No, if I showed up. Like, if I showed up what I'm actually worth, I'm not going to lie. If I showed up in, like, my jean jacket and, like, some basic-ass Levi's and, like, you know what I mean? Like, I remember I showed up. Actually, this did happen to me. I showed up in my jean jacket I got for $2 at Goodwill. And there was no brand on it. It was so worn down. I just wear it because I got it. It's a good jacket. And I go out on the road, and I remember I was wearing it, and an artist, I'm not going to say who, very, very successful artist, I was at, a festival with, and, like, he literally was like, oh, bro, where'd you get that at? Let me see the brand. And he saw no brand on it. He literally went, oh, never mind. Because he was wearing Gucci, Louis, like this stuff. And he was just curious. Like,
he's just measuring.
Can I rock that size?
It's a litmus test.
But that's for real, dude. That's why I'm like, this shit's so stupid. Because that's one thing that also I got caught up in was like, it was fucked up how the universe did this to me. The universe basically told me, I'm going to give you all the accolades you've ever wanted. And it came with an immense amount of sacrifice and work. Now what? Like, now what? Like, where does that put you? Like, it doesn't put you anywhere. Literally, like, every number that I've gained on my phone, bro, my phone is like a Rolodex of, like, millionaires, bro. And I'm like, yeah, I can't do any artists, fame, like, in my phone. And straight up, doesn't matter. Because if you're a genuine person, you're not going to abuse those relationships. And also, like, they don't owe you anything for working with them. Even though you did a good job, they don't owe you shit. Mm-hmm. So then you're like put in this position where like Kevin's done all these things, but how is he not seeing the financial outcome that he wants? Because I put myself in that position. I set up a deal like a record deal where like I wasn't benefiting financially. It was to have someone take a chance on me. And once they did, they saw the benefit from it and then continued to, right? And told me there was no way for me to move up unless I did 50 times the more amount of work. Like, hey, you're good at what you're doing now, and that's what you were earning. But then now it's like, I'm going to multiply your work times 3 or 4, And if you can come out of that positive, then, you know, you'll see something at the end of it. And it's like, that's not a good deal.
No.
The deal should be not instant gratification, but it should be a reward should be seen obvious. It should be like, if I do this work, I know I'm worth this much and I know you can pay it, do it. And if you can't, then I'm going to do my own shit. And that's what I was saying before is understanding your value. Like, I don't know. And fame and shit just pisses me off now. It really does, because I've seen the peak of it in hip hop in particular. I've seen the fucking peak of it, dude. I was talking to Steven Tyler's drummer. Okay. Like, put that shit in perspective. I was in a green room with Steven Tyler's drummer. He used to drum for The Doors. He's the biggest, huge fucking drummer. And he even told me, he's like, yeah, but I look like a 40-year-old guy who has back problems and I'm on the road.
So was he saying that, like, it ain't all it's cracked up?
Yeah, he was like, bro, watch your fucking self.
I think the fans, we made it this way. We did.
100 fucking percent, dude. Because
without the fucking crackhead on the corner, there wouldn't be a drug problem. Like, we look at it different. And we cause that level of fame and that type of... But, yeah, you know, there's genuine people in there, but, like, the facade of it... And the wizard, the Emerald City of this game, once you see behind the curtain, it's not so fun.
No, and I'm not going to lie. Like, that's why I want to write that book you're talking about, because I think I finally found a conclusion to it. That was the whole thing, because when we first talked about it, I was like, I would love to write about what it's like to be behind the scenes and the things that you see and experience and the things that you can't talk about and the exclusivity and all this other shit. But, like, at the end of the day, like, at the end of it, when you come out of the curtain, it's just, if you don't gain something out of that other than experience, like, if you don't have something to show for it, like, fame's nothing. Like, you know what I mean? Like, the people with the money is only temporary. I've realized the people gaining the most financially, like, it comes with such a crash so fast, dude. That's why I was like, the good example is, like, DaBaby, for example, right? Like, biggest artist on the planet for 2 years, 3 years, for sure, biggest artist on the planet. Got canceled one time. That rogue wave for him came in a negative fashion to the point where he definitely drowned in it. Now he's struggling to come back. Mm-hmm. When people talk about DaBaby offers, now they're just coming in hot because, like, he used to be someone you couldn't touch. Now he's someone that people aren't even wanting to book. You know what I mean? And that to me is like, no matter what point you're at, no, you could be the biggest fucking star in the world, but, like, it's not about that if you don't have financial freedom and happiness at the end of it. Some people have found that perfect balance. And that's, like, in other genres that I've seen, dude, I've seen artists, like, so small that I've never heard of. They're financially free. They feel super good about their life. They're pushing the message they want to push, and they have good people around them. And those people don't look elsewhere for people. Like, they don't look elsewhere at all. I think Chris Webby's one of those guys, mm-hmm. too, where, like, even he, like, has found that no one, if I tell people I'm working with Chris Webby, it's hilarious. They're like, I don't know who that is. But then I go to his show and there's 1,000 people, and that he's done the best out of any artist I've worked with this year. Like, he could push numbers close to NLE Choppa. And I'm like, how? You know what I mean? It's just because he found his rogue wave. He knows how to create it every fucking time in a positive fashion where it's genuine too. Like, that's the tough part, is how do you do that genuinely? Pushing a message that you believe in. Not something that you don't care about. Same thing with if you're working in a company listening to this. Like, if you work for a company and you see good shit from it, but you don't believe in it, it's the same thing as an artist becoming famous and not believing in the label or whatever they're pushing in their music because they're forced to push it. Like, anyone, when they're saying they're a label plant, I've met label plants, and they tell me, like, they're ex-Disney stars who have been put into a machine where they're put with the right people who know how to make their music sound a certain way. They get told what to write, and they get told to play a part, and then you're good to go. That's what I feel like corporate is. I feel like it's the same exact thing as when you have someone in a label becoming famous. Oh, they're a new up-and-coming artist. If they're a label plant, they're not enjoying what they're doing. Hence why they get drug problems. Hence why they have other issues. You know what I'm saying? Because they're trying to find an escape. Tough part about the music industry is you can't put in your 2 weeks like I just did. I did today because I put myself in a position where I'm able to get out. Some people aren't. Some people are in a position where it's like lifelong fuckery. And if you come out of that, you're definitely working at a McDonald's because you're not qualified to do anything else.
There's no backup plan.
No.
Once you cross that threshold of being a somebody in the masses' minds, you cannot fall from that place.
Why do you think I'm low-key, like, I was never anyone in the masses, but locally I'm now looked to as a person people can come for opportunity. And now when they come to me and I go, I don't have that opportunity anymore, what do you think they're going to do? You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. That's also why like social media is great, because you can create a perception for your business that isn't the real thing.
Create a lie.
And that, but that's why that's not who I am though. Like yeah. I easily could be like, you know what? Let me take every video I've gotten from concerts.
Just throw them up.
Throw them up and be like, man, I'm still killing it. I was working with this person yesterday when I wasn't. I have so many pictures of celebrities I was with where I could be like, hey, man, good to see you when I haven't seen them in 2 years. You know what I'm saying? Like, I could create this whole ass perception mm-hmm. to make me feel great, but it doesn't matter because when I wake up in the morning and I can't pay my bills, it's still the same outcome. That's why I'm saying, like, I was telling people this today, like, I don't care if I transition out of this industry. I don't think I will. I'm going to give it a shot, another shot in my own way. But I told Cato this today. If I flounder and if you catch me working at Apple, I don't care if people talk shit about me.
You did 100 times more than most people would ever do in their entire lifetime before you're 30. So.
And not even comparing, though. Not even comparing.
No, and I know. But yeah. I'm just saying, like, you've lived a story. Like,
yeah.
You've earned the opportunity to do what the fuck you want.
Yeah.
You have. Yeah.
No, for real. And that's what I'm saying, though, is I'm giving it and I've gave it everything. No one can tell me I didn't, like, go, I was 1 foot in, 1 foot out, dude. I was in, bro. I mean, like, you saw me go through many different points in life. Like, one of the first episodes, I was in a house in Bloomington with my girl. I was working and I had a good job. I had a garden. I was like, oh, life's fucking a breeze.
I got
whatever.
It all.
Hey, I got a dog. You know, I'm sitting here chilling. You know what I mean? I can slowly move up from here. And then I thought to myself one day, I need to do it, bro. I will regret it forever if I don't. Now that I did it, I have no regrets about it. I just regret the position I put myself in. I regret the amount of benefit that I could have had if I transitioned a better way, or if I maybe worked a little harder. I still don't even think I worked hard enough. And that's what's fucked up about it to me, is that like I still am like, yeah, I didn't work hard enough. Because people around me are telling me now, oh, you didn't work hard enough.
Fuck yeah, man.
And I'm like, but what is enough?
They're speaking in relation to that unrealistic agreement that everybody has, like, hustle.
Yeah.
That's why you and I got into it, I think, one time about yeah. hustle mentality, and I'm like, it's bad.
Like, it is. It can be
it's
bad.
Good. It's good fire, but you get burned.
Yeah, no, you just get burnt out, though.
Yeah.
And when you get burnt out, you need to, like, be aware mm-hmm. of that, dude. Just life catches up so fast, dude. Like, just the amount of negativity that can be, like, if you just let it go, if you did not, like, want to do any responsibilities and needed a mental break, then it's like, you're fucked. You know what I mean? Because then debt comes and then other things come in social life.
That shit is depressing when you actually have that type of realization that, like, oh shit, my entire life is just me juggling balls. Like, none of this juggle never stops.
Nope.
Doesn't matter how high you get on the mountain. You still have to, you know.
There's usually more to juggle, too, and then there's more pressure on you at that point.
Right.
So I'm wondering, this is what I've been wondering to end this episode. I'm honestly wondering one thing, bro. This is what I've been thinking of recently. I'm thinking of, like, when is that point of where, like, you're not juggling anything anymore, where everything's just, because there are people that I figured this out that I've met, that everything just ebbs and flows. And they've set themselves up where if they didn't do something for a couple days when it came to their job or whatever, that they'd be good. That they're like, I've set up my life where I'm happy. I got a family. I know that what I'm doing is fucking firm. That's not going anywhere in my career. And my life is set up. And then now I can give that to my offspring and be able to say, let's set you up for this. That's essentially what life is. That's essentially what we're doing in social life, is eventually you put yourself in a position of financial freedom, of happiness, of good balance, and then you give that to another part of you. It's essentially all I've realized it is. And it's like, finding that pocket of just that, of trying to find that life, there's no direction for it. It's not your dreams. I really thought it was. I really thought following my dreams was the key to being like, I'm going to be so happy doing this because I enjoy the work I'm doing. Doesn't matter how much you enjoy it. If you get burnt out and you don't have anything to, like, show for it other than here's some cool ass shit that I did.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
I think it's found in moments. Because, like, let's go back to the zooming out part. Say you're on a peak of a wave or you're in the darkest valley, whatever. Knowing that each moment is going to end is relieving, depending on your perspective, or it could be devastating. But like knowing that you're going to ride up and there's going to be an up and then there's going to be a down, an equal down. I think it's found in moments, and anybody that thinks they have it set up basically just escaped life. They're done living it.
Yep.
They may be here. They may have everything set up. Their offspring may be able to never have to struggle, but then, you know, they're not learning any lessons, and yeah. I'm not going to be able to repeat it, but I know you've heard it and many people have been echoing it online. It's that hard times create blah, 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 create this. And it's this cycle and that cycle happens over generations. So depending on what your family has done or your life's experiences, you might be the strong man creating an easy time. You may be the weak man creating a hard time.
Yeah.
It's hard to know because we go through pretty much that entire cycle as an individual, but then also as just a branch in the family tree.
Yeah.
You know, generational trauma and all this stuff. You want to stop certain things. You want to X that out, addiction. Right. This ends with me. There's going to be no more alcoholics in our family for thousands of years. Shut up.
I've heard it though.
You know, whatever it is, it's moment by moment. And I think if you can just kind of like, I'm still trying to figure this out, but find the gems along the way. And that's it. And just hold them, polish them for a while, share them, share the light, hold it up in the sun and let it be a good thing when it's there. And then when it's time to play in the dirt, get your fingernails dirty and be down in the depths with somebody. Go through their hard time with them. There's no point when this ends.
No, and the cycle, no. It's just like, I'm wondering, like, this to make your life more simple, though.
Where's the relief is the real question.
Yeah, where's the relief, I guess. Yeah, like simplifying everything. You know what I mean? Like, having a couple days to wind down and not worry about much is kind of what I'm blessed for. That's what I'm taking these, like, I have like a week to pretty much do that, in order I have to like get my ass back up on life before I have to start juggling everything again to stay afloat. But like, oh, my fault. It was an alarm. But the one thing that I wanted to figure out is just that, like, where's the relief? Where, what can I do every day in career in particular? Because that's one thing I think everyone should focus on, is if you can find something in your career that can provide you mental stimulus and also relief at the same time, then you're in a perfect balance. Whatever financial outcome that comes with, I'll be honest, the dollar amount doesn't matter to me anymore, as long as I'm able to live a good quality of life that I care about. And that's also why, like, I think when we talk about blue collar workers, is that they've just done that. They can do the one thing I don't like about it is they most of the time to do something they hate during the day that usually involves physical labor, and then they go home and then that's their relief. But like, I don't want just 4 hours a day to be my relief.
I'm in that right now.
I don't want that.
Yeah, I don't either.
Right.
But it's what I needed.
Right.
And that's what sucks.
Well, that's what's saying. That's the direction I might be heading in, is like, that's what sucks, because the things that you're juggling need that.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing that keeps everything moving. And without those things moving, you don't have a life. Without having a roof over your head, paying your bills, having a good phone, having a decent car, like those things, like, then society also sees it. And that creates another level of embarrassment, because we're human by nature. We want to be accepted in communities, tribes, whatever. So it's like,
you're not pulling your weight.
Yup. It's like a member of your tribe being like, fuck off, when society is like, oh, you don't have that shit figured out yet. And it's like, that's such a shitty way of looking at it. You know what I mean? Like, I wish that wasn't the case. I wish we could just have our the one thing I wish, honestly, and I've thought about this a lot, really random note, back to like in medieval times, bro, when like there was just one king and there was just one way of doing shit, and you would not have to worry about money if you just did an apprenticeship. And if you got good at the apprenticeship and someone willing to teach you, then you would have a good quality of life in that realm. You know what I mean? Like, and that's something that you could rely on every day, your specialized skill, not skills, not multiple different things, but just one thing. Now it's like we've evolved, and the more you evolve and as a human, and the more things there are to juggle. Like, the amount of shit that I'm juggling now, I guarantee you, like, my mom couldn't even juggle when she was fucking 30. I know that, because I've seen it. I've seen her flounder in life. So it's like, where's the relief? My mom has been through a world of pain. That's like a good way to put it. Seriously, I've looked at my mom, like, never once in her entire life have I seen, since I've been alive, her have any relief in her life. None. It's always been consistent stress, consistent problems, one after another, unsuccess, failure after failure. And I love my mom to death, but she worked hard, but then just hit a point in her life where it was just all downhill. And I'm like, and that's, I've seen that with a majority of people, like the all downhill part, you don't have to be completely broke, but people who are even like, oh, found a job, I did everything I was supposed to do. Now what? Mm-hmm. Like, I literally don't know what to do with my life now. I just know to go to work tomorrow morning at 9 a.m.
You wouldn't know what, that's what's so sad about it all, is like, even if you gave those people up an opportunity to pull the plug.
Yep.
Like my parents right now, they just retired. They don't know what to do with themselves. And it's because they didn't think about it soon enough.
Yeah.
You know, and you live this life for other people. My mom's been in community event after community event, this, that. Everything well known in Farmington. And my dad, very committed to all of his work stuff, nose to the grindstone for my entire life. And now you just pull the plug from that expectation and that movement.
Yep.
And you're in free fall now.
Yep.
And some people go through that in the middle of their life. Some people go through that many times in their life.
Yep.
It's a bitch.
That's the
life's
thing,
a bitch.
Yeah, like, well, it's like, well, does that then? Then do they just die and be like, now I have no purpose because I worked for this long, and then now I have nothing because I didn't work towards anything? Like, even if you work towards something, when you hit that goal, like I did, I hit all my goals. The only goal I haven't hit is like being wealthy, like, because I've seen the fame, but I haven't seen the fortune, right? So it's like, at that point, I don't want to be 50 and be, or 55, whatever, and be like, well, now what? Like, this is super sad. I'm sorry if my family hears this, but my uncle's a good example. When he sold his company for millions of dollars early, it happened to him early. He turned 50 when he sold that. And then when he goes, I'm going to retire because I can. Cool, you can, but why? Like, and he immediately after 2 months went back to like consulting of some kind, even though he doesn't like consulting. He just does it because he doesn't need the money. He just knows that he has been in this cycle for so long in this system where it's like, what do I enjoy? I asked him once, I was like, what do you enjoy doing? Oh, you know, I watch golf and, you know, I do that. I'm like, no, but do you play golf? Are you trying to get better at golf? No. Okay. Well,
just spectating.
What's something that you're wanting to do? Like, what's something that you actively every day, like painting, for example? I love when people paint because, dude, it's a skill set that like you'll never, ever, ever, ever stop doing, ever. There's always something to paint. There's always something in your mind. There's always something to improve. There's always a different way of doing it. It's so abstract that it's like that type of art I respect fully because it's such an, that's more of an open sea than what I'm talking about in the music industry. Music industry has structure, bro. There's a system that you can fall into as an artist, whatever role you want to play. As if someone who paints or does photography or something like that, there's an open canvas and it does, it's all relative. There's no bar. It's a bar to whatever people like, not a bar to what the companies want to buy. So that's even tougher. It's like, that's why I like people that do that and have those passions. And that's one thing I guess I'm trying to figure out is what's a passion that I have that I enjoy doing that is not something that that has a structure to it, that is something that forever I can do and be happy doing.
There you go. You know what I mean? I think you found your answer. Like, and this is for me too. Like, I've juggled a few different things, but like, what is something you can do by yourself, for yourself, with no attachment to the outside world, and as far as expectation or deliverance, or I gotta drop this album, I gotta get this body of work so I can show in a gallery. Like, just paint for yourself, or just fish for yourself, or just walk, just go power walk, you know, whatever it is. I think doing something for yourself, completely for yourself, is fulfilling, and I haven't really found one that I've really liked to land on. Because, but I think that's the important thing, is like something you can do that the world doesn't need to show up for in order for it to go well.
And for me, that was music when I was first doing it. You know what I mean? I could hop on a drum set, be well-versed, and do what I want to do in it. I could be in my own world for at least 20 minutes. You know what I'm saying? Of like, literally nothing else in this planet matters but what I'm doing right now. And for some people, they can make a career out of that. But I think that's what I tried to do, is I tried to make a career out of my dream, out of my passion too much, to the point where I'm trying to monetize everything. Because that's one thing everyone's stuck on right now, is monetizing literally everything. Like, I got told this recently by, I think it was Justin Clancy's, it was Codebreak, DJ Codebreak from, he's like Futuristics DJ. He literally sat me down and I was like, yeah, I do photography as a hobby. And he literally immediately goes, keep it as a hobby. Like, dude, he stopped everything he was doing in the green room and dropped his phone, was like, keep it as a hobby. I was like, why? He's like, it's not that you're bad. It's that you need to keep that feeling. It's like that feeling. He's like, I lost that in DJing. DJing used to be my escape. Now it's my job. Mm. Now I'm fucked. He's like, I love what I do. He's on the road, whatever. He has a whole career out of it. But he's like, it doesn't matter. He's financially free and it doesn't matter. He's like, I've lost what I love to do. He hasn't lost the love for it. He still reminds himself when he performs. But when he goes home, he doesn't want to DJ. Mm. He doesn't want to sit in his bedroom and get better.
Right.
Some people don't want to do that. You know what I mean? And that's one thing that, like, for me, I'm trying to find again is like, damn, like, I've given up all of that for this. You know what I mean? Thinking that's what I wanted, but I fell into management. Never once did I feel like I was going to fall into management. I thought I was going to be the artist. I thought I was going to be the drummer. I thought I was going to be the fucking people who I commend, because a lot of people that I've met who play instruments can just play their instrument, get paid with it because they're so good at it and talented at it. Like John Mayer, for example, bro, just so damn good that like he doesn't have to do anything to make money or juggle. He's just like, I'm good. That's why he is so open and in like his spirit's so free, essentially. And that's one thing I'm trying to find as well. Like, I literally picked up my hand pan the other day just to play it, sat in here for like an hour. And I was like, that felt great. But immediately, what did I feel? What did I accomplish?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't get anything from this.
Growing up, I heard, not growing up, but like what seems like growing up now, when I started doing music stuff in like 2011, my mom's main thing. How are you going to monetize it? How are you going to monetize it? I have nightmares about that quote because I never did. And I was so resistant to monetizing it because I was like, I held on to the passion and the love for it too dearly.
Yep.
Where I was like, it ain't about the money, mom.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like.
Yeah, it wasn't.
I'm the next Eminem. What the fuck money? You know, like. So, and I held on to that for too long. To the point where I never monetized it.
Yeah.
And Nate was always great at monetizing it. Yeah. So back to why I didn't get paid is because I never told that people that I was worth it.
Yeah.
I might have provided value, but like I never monetized myself. And I think that's probably why I've been in free fall creatively. And some of my verses sound like the Sims language.
Yeah.
So
I know what you're talking about,
but I would have never gotten there or gotten here if I had monetized, you know? So like I have special things that I can claim that no one else can.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's like, I miss money.
Yeah.
You know, I wish I would have done something with myself, but there is something to be proud of.
Yep.
Of never monetizing yourself and never like selling out.
Mm-hmm.
There's good things.
Yeah, so no, there
I
is.
Think whatever side you're on,
it's the energy that you provide, though.
It is.
It's just the energy of like, literally, like when you're in that action of whatever you're doing that you're holding on to, that you don't want to make a career, or that you tried not to because you fell in love with it. That's what made you different, though, when you went and did your shit. And that's, I'm not just saying you were different because you were different. Like, bro, like people still talk about your lyrics that I know. Like, people still talk about the songs. We still go on SoundCloud and look at them and we're like, damn, like that energy that you gave to those people in that moment, you may have not realized it, but that was like you showing that energy of like, I am not like, this is just something I love to do and it's obvious. And that's what made a different and cool ass product, right? So it's like, that's why I always say I commend the people that can do that, because most of the time, like they have people that work for them that can monetize it where they don't even have to be in the mindset of it. They're like, I'm just naturally going to do what I do and I'm going to make a career out of it and put other people in the position to be able to create that money for me and that value. You know what I mean? Because they can always keep that energy. And that's one thing that I've wanted to keep. Like I've lost that with drumming. I've lost that with rapping. I've lost that with writing music in general. Like, dude, I wrote 3 songs and I immediately went to go to the studio to record them. And I was like, oh, I put a little post out and I was like, oh yeah, I just made music for the first time in forever. I had some hype behind it, but immediately I fell off of it. And I was like, why don't I want to finish these songs? Why do I have no direction to finish them? Why do I have no vision anymore? You know what I mean? I wrote them in times of I needed to write. That's what made them good. But then now it's like seeing that product all the way through. I don't want to. And that's okay. That's one thing I have to remind myself. It's okay. I can write music and create podcasts and take photography for literally no purpose. And that's what I'm trying to remind myself. But that is only okay if your life can be juggled at the same time by something else, sufficed by something else.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what is that something else? And what do I, if, is that something else something I enjoy? Because now I'm trying not to fall into the trap of 9 times out of 10, it isn't. That's what everybody I know does. I see people getting married, having kids, whatever. And I'm like, I've asked these people, do you enjoy your job? No, I work in insurance. Oh, so you hate what you do. So then when you go home to your family, you have nothing, none of that energy we're talking about, none of the passion for anything. I'm like, I just don't understand how people can do that. And that's something that only creatives know. Like, I wasn't born a non-creative. And me and Gage talked about this today. We really wish we were. I wish I could just fall into the trap of what everyone else is doing.
I wish I was normal.
Dude, not even just fuck normal. I just wish I could be comfortable showing up, doing what I'm told to do, and just being cool with that and seeing success from it and being happy with those milestones in that job. I'm just not. I'm not, and I can't do it. No fiber in my being will do it.
That's because you better the world.
That's great. You can. That's awesome.
You do.
Yeah, I understand that, but like...
I'm saying being the way that you are and not being regular.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Taps the chest.
Yeah.
But for real, I don't know. It's just like when you're a creative, you struggle with that all the time of identity, of like, how do I make money? Because there's no money to be made as a creative unless you get extremely lucky or like you get caught up in it or you just do whatever they tell you to do. And that defeats the purpose of being a creative. So then you're back with more internal. It's all an internal struggle. Like, I could talk to people all day that just go to a job and say they don't enjoy it, but continue to show up. And I tell those people like, but you continue to show up, right? Yeah, because I have to. I don't have that in me. I don't have that. I have to show up. I go, no, fuck that. Like, I can't show up. And it makes me look bad all around, but it's not bad. It's just I don't enjoy that. You know what I mean? And it's sad to say, like, there's only one other job in my life I've had, which is working for Apple, where I was like, I don't hate this, but I don't love it. I'm cool here. It's cool. I could do it. And it provides me with the life that I need. I saw it. And I was like, but there's more.
Yeah, because that feels like settling.
Yeah.
I think that tattoo on your arm has turned more symbolically into wisdom.
You know? Oh, which one?
Your owl.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
oh,
yeah. I don't know that you probably... It was probably for Owl City.
Yeah, it was, but no, that
no,
definitely...
No, like, you have turned it into wisdom. I just kept seeing it because it's staring me right in the face.
Yeah, muffled.
Like, over the past hour or however long of talking, like, I think if there's any takeaway, it's like... You've got a nice bag of thoughts and memories and experiences and just like knowledge of what to do, what not to do. Very hyper specific situational awareness, but also the grand zoom out of like, okay, I know where all of this fits.
Yeah.
I think you got everything you need for the next chapter.
I think so too. Whatever that be, we'll find out. But coming out of the cave, hopefully the next time we talk, we're a little bit. And I'm not even going to say, I hope we're out, because that ain't going to happen. I know that for a fact. It's a journey to get out of this bitch once you're in it. And that's one thing I've been telling people around me that don't see it. I'm like, dude, if it consumes you, like, I was on the near of consumption for a while of it. Just I was like, yeah, you know what? Fuck everything. Like, I've definitely, not just had a brief thought. I've had real thoughts and real action behind just going like, forget everything I just did. Forget everything, all the content I've put in the podcast, forget it all, forget everything. And just literally one of my plans was to work at a coffee shop, make coffee every morning for minimum wage, perform musically whenever I felt, have a dog, have a very cheap apartment, and just live life simply as fuck. Because there's nothing more simple than waking up and just making some coffee for people, have a nice day. Cool, nothing attached to it, no busy hour, nothing. Like just small town type shit. Get away from it all, because I've done that life a little bit when I lived in Winona. Dude, life was cake. I thought everything was cool. I thought everything was whatever.
It's all great until some young punk, right? You're going to do this. You're going to be 10 years in. Everything's just going to be so good. And some young punk who's right where you were is going to come in the morning that they're leaving for tour, and it's gonna be in such a rush.
I know,
and you're gonna be chill.
Yeah, I'm gonna go.
He's gonna be like, "Come on, old man! Just because your fire died doesn't mean mine has to. I'm going on tour."
And you're like, "Yeah, bro. All right."
Yep. And then here we are.
And then like, full circle. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think
that's ultimately what happens. Like.
Yeah, I think it does.
We just share different. I mean, we're different characters. We play different parts in different people's stories. And as long as you show up, you're going to have a part in the story.
Yeah. Yeah. I've just thought about that because, like, especially in, like, just with fame in general, some people die, though, and don't have that full, like, experience that we're talking about. Some people don't have that, like, oh, I'm older and I've seen this or done this. Some people just die in it. Some people are always like, yeah, I got to be on the next thing, and then lights out. Like,
well, I think that affects those people around them, you know?
Like, yeah.
That death is the story.
Yeah, okay. For them. Yeah, but for that person, I'm talking about not just, like, for the person who died, right? Like, what does that mean? Like, were they ever curious about learning that low, slow lifestyle? Were they ever curious about getting that ideal world? You know what I mean? Like, and I don't think there is an ideal world. There is no ideal life. Like,
as a whole or for an individual?
For an individual. Like, there, I mean, what I'm saying is that there's no, like, benchmark to where, like, when you hit it, you're like, I'm good on life. Like, I'm at peak happiness. Like, that just comes with experiences. And that's one thing that I tried to remind myself when I was, like, on stage at those special moments. I was like, dude, I have to soak this all in. Like, people wondered why I was just, like, staring. Like, I was just fucking looking when I was on the stage.
Living
it. I want to remember everything. Like, I want to remember every goddamn moment. Right. And that's one thing that I won't forget. You know what I mean? But there's no, people then go, well, what does that do for you? It's like, I don't know. I could go on this rant forever. It's like, it doesn't do shit for you. You know what I mean? It's just, it doesn't, like, give you any, the accolades don't do anything for you. Like, when I'm talking to women, they're like, oh, that's super cool. It's like, yeah, it's interesting. But, like, what did I fucking gain? I keep asking that.
But,
like,
maybe it's not a tangible.
I don't think it is.
Like I said earlier in the podcast, like, I have not seen a dime from music.
Yeah. You've seen a lot of the shit that I've seen.
There's things to be held in your hand and there's things to be held in your heart. And that's it.
Thank you, thank you, thank you to every single listener. You have followed me all the way to the end of this episode, and I greatly appreciate you for doing that. Please go give me a follow on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. Leave me a review, give it a 5-star, and tell me what you love about this podcast. Every little thing you do helps, including subscribing to me on YouTube. That is Kev's Perspective, KEV, S Perspective. Every single week, I do all of this myself, and I'd greatly appreciate all of you to just give me a follow, throw me a 5-star, give me a like, whatever you can do to help me grow. I'd greatly appreciate it. Tune in next week to Kev's Perspective. Chia.